Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, and welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church, and thank you for being here on this beautiful day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Several announcements. First, you'll notice that there's not a second responsive reading where there's normally one. We're having trying to cut the service down just a little bit because we're having Advent readings, having communion, and we're having a congregational meeting after the service. Congregational meeting will be held today, December the 2nd, after worship. Reports are on the back table. Hope everyone was able to get one. If not, we can run some more off. The cookie walk is Saturday, December 8th from 9 to 2. And craft show, there will be another one the following Saturday, but without the cookie walk. It's important to note, there's only one cookie walk. So get there for the first, and they line up for that. Offering envelopes are in the narthex. Christmas poinsettias are $6.95. You can choose either red or marble, but they must be placed by December the 10th. The Christian Education Christmas Party will take place December the 16th after worship. The old Bishop St. Nicholas will be here, and we're asking that you bring a covered dish with your own place setting and your plates, your forks, your glass, so we don't have to do any cleanup. It can just be a party. Put it in your plastic bag and take it home. And they're asking if someone would like to donate ham for it. People have done that in the past, and you can contact Brittany Hurst. Maybe you want to donate it and cook it, or you can donate it and give it to Brittany. And the ornaments and magnets, so the church picture, are for sale at the back of the church, and you can see Arlie, or you can stop by the purchase at the church office, and they are very, very beautiful keepsakes. Junior Church has held the worship service every Sunday except the last Sunday of the month. And the Presbyterian Women of Northmont United Presbyterian Church, their program Friday, December the 7th, and registrations are on the table in the back. We're asking during the prelude, when the choir proceeds into the church, that you not try to grab them or talk to them when they're coming in. Feel free to talk to them in the back when they're gathering, having a good time, but once it starts coming down, just let them proceed in, and we thank you for that. The angel tree, if you pick up an angel, and we hope that you do, for the children in our community that might not have a Christmas without it, that you please see a deacon. Don't just take one off the tree and walk out. They need to record it and make sure that present gets to that child, because you will bring your present back and those presents will be delivered. And if the name is not on it, then they don't know where that present goes or what's in it. So it's very important that you see a deacon after that. The Mellingers wish to express their deepest thanks. They feel the Women's Association could not have done a better job. No one could have handled this. Please thank them for me, Jancy Daly and family. And we thank them for that. And we're getting a lot of letters also. We'll put some in the valley about the Thanksgiving luncheon that we had for the community. Really overwhelming response this year, more than really I've ever seen in the past years. Okay, let me make sure I've got everything. Okay, that's it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, O Come, Emmanuel, 123.
Thank you.
worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being excited about our salvation. We praise you for caring enough to send Jesus to pay for our sins. You have given us the opportunity for eternal life. Forgive us if we are not excited about Advent. Forgive us if we are not looking forward to Jesus coming back as the King of Kings for his church. Help us find a sense of enthusiasm that causes us to want to tell others about Jesus. May we open the window to our hearts and souls to receive your message of love and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.
May we take a moment to bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us seek a sense of unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment to greet God's family. If you don't know someone or visitor, ask their name.
Advent is a time to remember the wonders of our faith. God has done wonderful things, things planned long ago. Advent is a time to be amazed at God's wondrous love. God has done wonderful things, things planned long ago. Advent is a time to retrace our past and reclaim the hope of our future. God has done wonderful things, things planned long ago. Advent is a time to be awed by God's unfolding plan for creation. God has done wonderful things, things planned long ago. Today we light the first candle. The first candle reminds us that the season of Advent is a time of unspeakable wonder. As we begin our Advent journey, let us stand amazed at the promise God has fulfilled, the love God has shown, and the joy God has given through the birth of Christ.
Pray. God in heaven, as we begin the season of Advent, we ignite our sense of wonder. Help us move beyond what is familiar to your indesirable glory. Allow us to be still in the midst of what our minds cannot fully grasp and what our lips cannot fully explain. Fill our hearts this Advent with restored amazement for what you have done. The love you have shown and the gift you have given. In Christ's name, amen.
In the holy mountain.
If you have any prayer requests this morning, I would appreciate it if you could write them down on a card and give them to me after the service, because your prayers are important. And I'll be praying and I'll pass them down on the internet. And I would like to point out some this morning. You can read these on the back of your bulletin, and the ones that come in the valley. Sue Galley was operated on and is at home recovering. Christine Gill, who we've been praying for, was in the hospital, is at home. Isabel Mellinger, we're praying for, as you know, as Art passed away. Sylvia was in the hospital and is now here in the service with us, and so we welcome her back to worship. B.J. Morrison was operated on for breast cancer. I spoke with her last night. She said she's not feeling any pain, but she's very sore. Took out some lumps and took out lymph nodes on both sides, 5 total, and was in pretty good spirits. Chuck Sheets, I talked to him last night. He'd gone into the hospital for a colonoscopy, then had some bleeding, and there's going to be some follow-up with that, but he is at home recovering. And so we thank the Lord for all that and for all the people who need prayer within our church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, the first Sunday in Advent. It's a very special time as we are caught between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And many people in the world do not even pause to think about Advent and what it means for the world, for our lives. Because they've not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. They care little for religion or for faith. They care more about the material things of the world, caught up in the moments of life. But help us in our Christian faith to get excited about Advent, thinking about you coming into our world and our lives and changing humanity, and your promise of coming back again for your church, for your people. We believe, Lord, we have faith, and we care about humanity. And in our caring and compassion, give us a will and a strength, a desire and enthusiasm to reach out and tell others about Christ, to invite people to worship with us, that they might find Jesus Christ and have their lives changed, not just upon this earth, but for all eternity. We lift people in prayer up every Sunday, and we whisper names of loved ones and needs in our own lives to you right now. And we do so because you are a mighty and a wonderful God. You gave us salvation, and you've given us the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to care for us. And Lord, we are so thankful for that. Help us to be enthusiastic about Advent, about our Christian faith, about telling others. Help us to be enthusiastic about coming to you in prayer, believing that you are there and that you care about our needs, every small thing as well as the large things in our lives. Lord, thank you. We love you, and we know that you love us. And thank you for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation on the screen, Jesus, Name Above All Names. Thank you. Let's bow for a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for coming into our world, for coming into our lives. The cross means so much to us, and also that you are able to rise from the dead and send into heaven and send back your Holy Spirit to empower us to build up your church that we could proclaim the gospel to the lost and the dying, the sick and the hurting. Help us to do that to the best of our ability. Bless us for using the gifts that you have given to us. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw, and also to our guests that are with us today. Jeremiah, the author of today's scripture, was a prophet in the Old Testament. His prophecy in today's scripture comes on the eve of the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. It was a result of the people of Israel turning away from God and putting their trust in themselves, in others, in wealth, in armies, in government, and in religion. The destruction of Jerusalem stands as a warning for all people that rejection of God leads to destruction. Even so, the message from God in today's scripture offers us hope. It predicts the coming of Israel's righteous Savior and his message that we should all repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Only by repenting and turning to God can God save us. Please listen to your own personal message from God as I read Jeremiah 33:14 through 16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Since this opening thing is about Pittsburgh, I hope I get this name right because I've never heard it actually pronounced. Before the advent of television, baseball broadcasters depended on colorful announcers, even more so than now, to captivate a listening audience. One of the best of these announcers was named Rosie Roswell. Roswell. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I see I inverted my numbers. I knew you would correct me, and thank you for that. Roswell was the radio voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I don't need to tell you that, I can tell. Correct me again. The star slugger was the Pirates at the time was Ralph Kiner?
Kiner.
Okay. Just correct me all morning. Anything I get right, I could use some help today. Roswell got his audiences to imagine a little old lady in an apartment facing Forbes Field. Whenever Ralph would connect with the potential home run, Roswell would shout out, "Open the window, Aunt Minnie, here it comes." Then as the ball left the park, he would smash a light bulb at the microphone. Rosie knew how to create excitement. I think we ought to enter Advent with a level of excitement. And so on this first Sunday of Advent, I want to shout with great enthusiasm, "Open the window, Glenshaw Valley, here comes Advent," or "Here is Advent." Children understand that kind of excitement. Just wait until Christmas gets a little bit closer. Some of them are already making lists of things that they want Santa to bring to them. Pastor Don Jewell tells about a young boy a few years ago at one of his Christmas Eve candlelight services, expresses his excitement immediately after the benediction. The four-year-old broke out in the top of his lungs, "Hooray, hooray, hooray! Jesus is born! Jesus is born! Let's get going!" It seems that the boy's parents had told them that he could not open his presents, and he'd be able to as soon as the Christmas Eve candlelight service was over. So he was ready to get that service over and get home and tear into those presents. That lad didn't understand the true meaning of Christmas. So we shout out today, hopefully, Jesus is born. Hooray, Jesus is born. Now the prophet Jeremiah understood that kind of excitement. Jeremiah is known to be, by many Bible students, as the weeping prophet. Often he was the purveyor of bad news. He gave bad news because he was a prophet of God, and the people of Israel were living outside of God's favor. Jeremiah knew the people's sins, and he knew of God's justice. He knew that God would not protect the people of Israel from the consequences of their own bad choices. Israel had been unfaithful to the laws of the covenant that God had given them and forsaken God by building high altars, places of worship, to a false god, Baal. Some of them even offered up their own children as sacrifices unto death. Consequently, Jeremiah prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem by invaders from the north. He also prophesied that the nation of Israel would be faced with famine and plundered and taken captive by the foreigners into exile into a foreign land. That was not a popular message, as you can imagine. No one wants to hear about the destruction of their beloved nation. And Jeremiah was persecuted for his prophecies. People didn't like to hear that their nation is under judgment by God, especially when they felt like they were the favored and blessed people. They didn't like to hear it, and we don't like to hear anything like that today. But Jeremiah spoke the truth, no matter how distasteful. Everything that Jeremiah prophesied came true. The nation fell, the population was dispersed, and the people were certainly in despair. However, just when everything looked totally bleak and hopeless, God gave Jeremiah a new message. Jeremiah finally gets to tell his people the good news. All is not lost. The exiles will come home. God is faithful to his promises. God will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. This is exciting news for the people. Open the door, Aunt Minnie. The children of Israel are coming home. For Christians, this is, of course, a prophecy of Jesus Christ, who will do what is just and right in the land. And by those life and death, Israel and Judah and all the people of the earth will be saved. This is the very heart of the gospel message. God always fulfills his promises. If God says it, it will happen. Judah writes, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah." Jewish psychiatrist Viktor Frankl was arrested by the Nazis in World War II and stripped of everything, all of his property, his family, his possessions, isolated from everything that he loved in his life. He spent years researching and writing a book when he arrived at Auschwitz, that infamous death camp. He had hidden in the lining of his coat the book that he had worked on all of his life, and they ripped that lining out and took his book away from him. This was devastating to Frankl. He called it the loss of his spiritual child. He found himself confronted with the very question of whether under such circumstances life was worth living. And then one day, in place of his own clothes, he was given a man's clothes who was taken to the gas chambers, stripped of his clothes and given a dead man's clothes. But he looked in the pocket and he found a single page torn from a Hebrew prayer book. And on it said, it was a Shema Yisrael prayer, what Jesus called the Great Commandment. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might." Was it a coincidence that a page such as this would find its way into Frankl's hands? He thought not. He thought God was behind this. He interpreted it as a sign of God's faithfulness to him. Frankl sums it up, the meaning of his experience, like this: how should I have interpreted such a coincidence other than the challenge to live my thoughts instead of merely putting them on paper? In other words, don't just think about doing something, write about doing, but actually do what you plan on doing. And that is the best way to interpret any experience. Resolve to live your thoughts, your good thoughts, instead of just putting them on paper. God is faithful, and you can trust God's promises. It's been the anchor of every soul committed to the work of God through history. God always fulfills his promises. No matter how dark the night, no matter how harsh your critics may be towards you, no matter how violent the enemy, God will not forsake you. That is the first thing Jeremiah reminds his people of Israel. God will fulfill his promises. But Jeremiah said something else. He prophesied the coming of the Messiah. Jeremiah wrote, "A righteous branch will sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior." Jeremiah undoubtedly believed in a Messiah who would unite the nation and restore it to its former glory. He could not foresee that God had a much grander plan in mind. He could not foresee the manger in Bethlehem. He could not foresee the coming of the one who would rise above nationalistic dreams and be the Savior not only of Judah, but of the entire world. Jeremiah knew that God was faithful. He knew that God had promised that from the line of David there would come a Savior. However, he could not understand or foresee that this Savior would come not as a conqueror, but as one who would allow him to be crucified on a cruel cross. He could not know that the Messiah would be a humble carpenter from Nazareth whose one name would one day be revered by every race and every nation. He knew God would send a Messiah. He could not know that this Messiah would be the Messiah Jesus turned out to be. Reverend Bill Hayes tells about an event that occurred several years ago when a community of Spencer, South Dakota was devastated by a tornado. Six people died in that tornado. Among the structures that were devastated was St. Matthew's Lutheran Church. The day after the tornado, the pastor of St. Matthew's Lutheran Church walked through the devastation. She writes that it saw toppled vehicles, heavy items strewn around like toys, whole buildings gone from their foundations. When she got near the site of the church, someone called out, "Look, there he is. There's Jesus." Sure enough, this pastor writes, there was a statue of Jesus that had been propped up. It had been a beacon in that 100-year-old church. The pastor later wrote that it was so fitting to look upon the chaos around and see Jesus' outstretched arms welcoming his loving people. And she wondered how the statue had survived the devastation and had learned that two girls in the community who were doing cleanup in the neighborhood decided to walk over to the church and knew about the statue of Jesus and walked in and found it toppled over but not broken and stood it up. Two young girls. They decided that everyone in Spencer needed to see that Jesus was still there. So they stood the statue up for everyone to see. Those young girls were right. Whether we are in good times or in bad times, in times when things seem hopeful, in times when they seem helpless, people need to see Jesus. Jesus is the real hope for any of us. He is the Savior of the world. Some of you have already learned this lesson in your lives. He always keeps his promises. Among those promises is the promise that he will never forget us or never forsake us, and we can trust him. We are his family, the family of Jesus Christ. And we begin this Advent season as one body, his body. And that brings us to the final thing. We need to spread this excitement. This is an exciting time of year. I know it's a very busy time of year, one of the busiest for all of us. But it's exciting as well. You and I have been waiting all of our lives, believing, hoping that Jesus would come back. Some, many, during our lifetimes. Even if you weren't always aware of it, it's an exciting time of year. And I hope you will see the Advent season as an opportunity to invite a friend to worship with you. Someone who needs Christ. You know, the most powerful form of advertising any church can do is word of mouth. It's inviting someone to church and actually going and getting them if you can. When people are excited about their faith and excited about Jesus Christ, they spread that excitement to others. And I ask you, are you excited about your faith? And I'm talking about your faith first, not about anything else that is going on. Just being excited about Jesus Christ, that should rise above everything else. Then you can be like that little boy who shouted, "Hooray, hooray, hooray. Jesus is born. Let's get going." Maybe you're not quite that excited. After all, we are Presbyterians. At least maybe you will be just as determined to spread the good news of Jesus Christ as those two girls who lifted up the statue of Christ and when the storm swept through the town so everyone could see the Savior. God always keeps His promises. Jesus is the Savior of the world. That's exciting. So watch out, Glenshaw Valley. Advent is here and Christmas is coming. May God bless you. Our communion hymn is 274, verses 1 and 2. I'd just like to remind you that our Presbyterian heritage, everyone is welcome to receive communion. And if there are any young people here, that's a prerogative of the parents to decide. You'll each be served and we'll take the elements together with a sense of unity. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of communion, the Lord's Supper. In this special time of year at Advent, when we think about you coming into the world and waiting for you to come again, we thank you that you keep your promises, that you've never left us and you will never forsake us. As we receive communion today, May we reflect upon our lives and how we can grow in Christ, what we can do to be better Christians, better spouses, better parents, better grandparents, better children, better neighbors. How can we improve ourselves? How can we grow closer to you? We thank you that as we go through this memorial, that it is more than just remembering what you've done. We invite your presence to be here with us today, to touch each of our lives in a very special and a very unique way. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us, helping us to find the abundant life here upon this earth, and then giving us the promise of eternal life with you forever. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name, we do pray. Amen. On the night that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body, which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus Christ said, "I am the bread of life. If you have seen me, then you have seen the Father." Let us, with a sense of reverence and unity, remember the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the same day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, "This is my blood, which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Paul wrote in Romans, "If you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead, then you shall be saved. I am the first, and I am the last." Once again, with a sense of unity and reverence, let us remember the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. I didn't see Sue Galley at the back. I just want to welcome you back. I was welcoming people after operations. Welcome back in the service. Our hymn of response, number 126, a Nativity Prayer. Hope that you felt comforted by the service today, surrounded by people and with love and compassion. And as you go back out into the world, I hope you go telling others about Jesus Christ, that he has come into the world and he will come again, and he can help them find a sense of peace and love and joy and bring them eternal salvation. Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.